Sadama Meditation Society, Virginia, Full Retreat 2016, the 8th day, December 7th, Interview English Myanmar Group.
My question is, if the summer circumstances, environment, like yesterday, was raining, also Dhamma house very cold, so then I would like very strong desire to escape this kind of situation, like cold, or try to make temperature higher. So for the seems mind is very hard to make stable. So for this kind of environment, so how to maintain? How do I maintain?
You mean how do you make the mind stable?
Yeah, like it wasn't the right effort to make like awareness, because it looks like mind is continuously trying to just, you know, aware of my body and immediately change to other things.
Okay, so that's a problem?
Yeah.
มันเนี่ยเอโลเรเอโลสิกก็ไม่ใช่ตัวสิกก็จะเชิญลงทะเบียนอยู่เลยแล้วคณะกรรมสิกก็ทาลงไม่เอาหูอยากดีเอาแต่สิกก็ยังไม่รู้หรอกนะทุกคนอ๋อยังเอาลงจริงๆแล้วสิกก็ดีสิกก็ดีคณะกรรมทาลงไม่เอาเลยแต่ชาไอ้โนชิยาอยากก็สิกก็เอราเปียดนะนะเอาแต่สิกก็ไม่รู้สิกก็ไม่ได้ยินแค่ตัวสิกก็ไม่รู้
If you want the mind to calm down, that is very simple. Have the right attitude and patiently place your attention onto something, some object again and again and again, patiently, with the right attitude. Then the mind will calm down. But it's difficult to be patient with that.
But I feel that the mind is always like some different thinking comes automatically.
Different teaching?
Different thinking.
Thinking.
Yeah, different. Like sometimes I feel like cold.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remind me, it's okay, just aware this disliking mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then another like fear.
Uh-huh.
Fear mind arise.
Okay.
Or if this cold, I can be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Body can become sick.
So you look at that.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like it's a.
Am I?
It's a.
I see
a thing
in it. Taka lay ma. What does our mamma been? Look below. Well done.
Seattle says.
Mamma will take our mummy, tell our mummy, kiss me, I go room, and open that door. Like a rocket slowly.
Yeah.
So,
actually, all these thoughts come up, but you need to, Seattle says, keep backing away from it and recognizing it. So there's thinking that it's cold, disliking it, aware of disliking, then another thought comes up, aware of the thought says maybe you'll fall sick, so aware of that thought, there's fear, so aware of that fear, and then the fear continues, aware of that fear, aware of that fear. He says you have to keep being aware, but if you stop being aware, and you start believing the thought, your mind starts to follow the thought. Yeah, it starts to give you, it starts to exaggerate that idea, oh, it's going to be sick, this is not good, you know, how to meditate like this. It starts to go off into this belief thinking, right, instead of being aware.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how about like some, do I need like take some actions? If I feel cold, do I need like put like more clothes or like, change the temperature? Or?
Yeah.
Of course you should take the correct action.
Yeah.
Sarah says, of course we have to Sarah says, of course we have to do what's necessary, right? What is possible,
mm-hmm.
to keep the mind and body in balance. What's possible, right? After that, what's not possible, we have to watch. Yes, he says, we always have to balance for the body, the temperature and the food, right? Yeah, he says, and if you, you know, in the end, if nothing is possible, you can go in your car and turn on the heater. He knows that, about that.
Oh, man. anyway.
He says, there's many ways to deal with something, but our fear gets in the way.
So a few years ago, I didn't know that much about meditation, but I just read some stuff about focusing on the breath and stuff like that and the labeling technique. And so I'd kind of experiment with that. And there's a few times where I would try to clearly see the breath or something like that, and I noticed that I think it has to do with vitaka, maybe, but it seemed like thoughts, and like I could see thoughts and intentions sort of at a subtle level, and they would come really, really fast. But it felt like I was always using a lot of intention or energy, but like now when I do the practice, I feel like a lot of times I'm not seeing to that same depth, like the reactions and stuff. So then I'm wondering sometimes, am I doing this practice correctly? Like, was I doing back then, like, something right? I don't know, but it seemed like there's a lot of forcing, so I'm not really sure, but...
So when you were doing the other practice and then you got to the point that you could see the more subtle thoughts and activities in the mind, had you been practicing a few years? Or maybe more correctly, maybe in that period when you saw that, had you been practicing continuously?
Kind of. I was doing like 2 hours per day and sort of I would go to class and stuff and have anxiety a lot of times. So I'd kind of try to watch my mental reactions a lot. So I think maybe I had momentum then, but
right.
Yeah.
Tu longgera banani kala mi tu sa bro dia sa a thu bro tu sa au tha ma pha re ai atet shu da ma pho phaw pain ba phi phi ba na ba phi phi tu atet shu da ma pho tu ti le na bro labeling tat da tu tat ai chain ma tu tu a tu chou sa bi a thu ni da chain ma le de chain ma tu tin nan ni lat tat le sik ka anxiety re ba re mya ro tu ai ha re khana khana ti mo chou sa re le ta ni na chain la na nai la thai pye de จันเนี่ยเฉยอ่ะอเมียนดาวช็อตตะดิท้าดาไม่ဟုတ်เป็นแม้ตูไอ้ตู้แอนไซตี้อ่ะเนี่ยจิบ่ติบ่จู้ซ่ารอตะเฉิงจ่ารอเรตูไอ้ตวยนี่ตูอ่ะเต็งมื้อเรตวยนี่มิดละเลยสิทธิ์แท้มาอเมียสกาเปียวเนี่ยล่ะตูตวยละเลยโปเต็งมื้อเรสรุปตูติอ่ะจ้าเรมาตูอ้าทุล่ะอ้าไม่ทุล่ะไม่ติดだแม้อกูดีดีมาตูซ่าอ้าทุตอกเอ้อหลอเมียวเต็งมื้อดาตูมะเมียนอูเลยเฉิงๆเอ้อตู
အခုလောက်တာတစ်ခုလုံးနေလားမဟုတ်ရင်အဲ့ချိန်ကသူတစ်ခုလောက်တာမှန်လားအဲ့တော့တပြည့်မေးအဲ့ချိန်ကသူနည်းနည်းသတိဆက်ဆက်တဲ့အချိန်မှာဖြစ်တာလားဆိုတော့သူပြောတယ်တနေ့နဲ့ချိန်ထိုင်နေတနေ့နဲ့နိုင်ထိုင်ဖြစ်တယ်အဲ့သူ့
Chiara says it's, you know, momentum plays a big part in practice. So we don't know whether in between that time and now, whether you've been practicing. But momentum is really the key. If we apply ourselves, if we find it interesting, we keep watch, we find something that, you know, that our mind keeps coming back to throughout the day, and we put in we invest the necessary energy to be mindful and so on. And he said, when we've done it for a while, you know, once we've sort of established some pattern in our lives of it, that's when, you know, because of that momentum, because of that regularity, you sort of, the mind starts to then have more strength. And then the mind can see more subtle, he says. But he says in meditation, nothing happens instantly. You have to wait for that
condition
for that momentum,
already.
For all the conditions to sort of gel together. And here, because we're not asking, you know, he doesn't, he wants yogis not to invest, like not to have too much focusing energy. You really have to rely on the momentum to reveal the nature of things. Yeah.
I mean, over time, I think over the past year, I've definitely noticed more details and stuff.
He says you will, you know. He said even if you don't want to see things, you will start seeing things.
Okay. Yeah, because there was actually, I was at Shuiman last year, and I was kind of getting frustrated with understanding right view and all that. So I was like, I'll just try what I used to.
Yeah.
And I think at night, usually I have more energy. During the day, I'm more sleepy. But I was like, I'm just going to put as much energy into doing something or like figuring it out as much as possible so I could, I don't know, I went into it and then stuff went really fast and like my hearing got really strong and then I looked around the room and it looked like, I guess, like I didn't recognize anyone or it was kind of weird and it kind of scared me. So I was wondering, like, was that right what I was doing? Or, because sometimes I've heard that, you know, if you're doing the practice correctly, you understand the mind at a certain level, fear comes up because it's kind of strange to you.
That's different.
Yeah. So I'm sometimes wondering, like, if fear does come up, I'm kind of deviating from what I was talking about before, but if fear and stuff do come up, how do you know, like, are you putting yourself into a situation that's wrong or right? Because, like, you talked about concentration before, like, people putting themselves in bad situations or whatever, dangerous situations, but
what was it you said that you saw after the hearing became very fast?
Yeah, so the hearing just became really, really strong.
Strong. And then
I looked around the room, but nothing. Everyone. The people I looked at, they didn't feel the same way. It's just like strange.
There's some misunderstanding about the use of the word fear, especially when in relation to insight knowledges. So when we talk about an insight, maybe it would be better to say that there is insight, there is understanding that things are, there is there is something inherently unskillful about something. So the understanding that something is like there is something to be wary of, you know, that sort of understanding, rather than that there is fear. So he said it's different when understanding understands that like fire is hot, than just being afraid that you'll get burned all the time, right? So he says the fear of dosa is different from if you use the word fear because of wisdom. So wisdom is not afraid. Wisdom understands what is fearful or fearsome, whereas dosa is just afraid, right? So he says, when you feel your normal type of fear, he said, don't mix it up or ever think that it is an insight.
Yeah.
So when we have more samadhi, Siaro says, samadhi does, especially more samadhi than usual, it does give the mind a different perception or view of its usual experience. It is an unusual experience. And if the mind judges that as strange or weird, it'll start to feel strange or weird. So the judgment, the first thought that the mind gives about it is the emotion that you will feel about it. So you might feel fear. Mm. And he says, you know, that's the fear of the unknown. Mm. You know, that's the normal dosa fear.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why Sayadaw says it's so important to be skillful at watching our emotions, because this is something that will keep coming. You know, we gain more samadhi, we gain more stability, and then our view of what we usually observe changes. And when it changes, he says, our mind will have judgment about our new experiences, and whatever that immediate, you know, unconscious thought about it is, that is the emotion that we'll bring to it. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll then have other judgments about that emotion and why it is and so on. He says, so it's really important to know just how to watch that emotion, because until the emotion is gone, we're not going to have a balanced way to look at it.
Okay. Maybe one last question. This going back to the whole Vitsika thing. So
just to explain vitaka, I think technically vitaka is a placing of the attention onto the object. You can also say it's thinking about the object. Thinking about the object brings attention to the object. So if you think about the stomach, you already know the stomach, you know, that sort of thing. So that's vitaka. But when you have a reaction to something, Siaro says that's already like having judgment, and you know,
This is more like let's think. So with the labeling thing, or no? So what I did before is, if
labeling
I focus,
is like a vitaka.
If I focus on the breath, it's more like forced intention to go back to the breath. Like so, if thought comes up. I don't know, now when I do stuff, I kind of try to see the thought more clearly. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you guys say don't go into content, but I just try to, like, know a little bit more detail about the thought that's coming up before I just try to label and be, like, immediately, maybe see, like, the beginning of an image or something and then label, and then it would just disappear.
Do you still label?
No, I don't label anymore.
Okay.
This is in the past, so I could label, like, thought really, really, pretty fast, I think, like, boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And that's when that kind of stuff would happen, like the weird stuff. But so I guess maybe it's a misunderstanding, or like I thought the faster I see thought happen, maybe the closer you are to having an insight or something. I don't know. Anyways, that's what I was doing then, and now it's kind of more slow, and I'm just trying to see, okay, is this thought that's coming up, is it memory, what's it related to, like what emotion, whatever, but it just seems like slower than it used to be when I could just label really quickly.
ဒီလေဒီလေဒီလေဘာလို့ပြောသူလောက်လို့ရတယ်လေဟိုသူစိတ်ကထင်တယ်လေ ตัวอตวยอเมียนๆติยตัวตะคู่เว้ยตะบอปอกไม่รู้ๆไอ้หลอเมียตัวอะเทนน่ะだแม้ไอ้หลอเมียๆอี้ลุบดอตัวตะมาติรีเมียอ่ะไอ้เฉยมาตัวไอ้หลอทุๆซันๆนี่ตัวติละเลยครับผมไอ้ทุๆไม่ต้วยรอตัวหลอตัวอตวยอไอ้หลอลุบไหลตัวเปี่ยวๆว้าหมดเลยอะหมดเลยลุบขึ้นตัวเออไอ้หลอเปี่ยวๆว้ารออติเปี่ยวเต็มไม่ซึ้งซ้าดิลุบขึ้นตัวไอ้หลอเมียรีขึ้นตาขึ้นเออเราอกูจ่ารอตัวเลเบลแล้วไม่รู้ดอก
อะเชียวเปียวดิโลติยอมเบสรอตัวอตวยดิจิไลเมียนๆมาลารออตวยดิโลติไลติเดติเดโหตัวนั้นๆนี้ดิโลผิดเดอะอะล่ะตูนั้นๆเปียวๆมาทุกผิดเดไซมอนี้ล่ะเมียนน่ะตู้สปีดดาเมจนี่ก็สิบ่กูอ่ะบันไล่ลงมาบ่ล่ะตู้อ่ะพี่ๆไลน์ดิโลติเอ้ยกูอ่ะเด้มาเว้ยเนี่ยติเมียนไลติเนี่ยชุบละตู้เมียนน่ะอืมไม่เลยอะติเมียนไลอะติเมียนไลอะติเมียนเราไปติยะ
So, it doesn't matter whether the thoughts, well, the thoughts have their own speed, whether we know it quickly or not. And, you know, there's also perception, like when we feel agitated, we feel like our thoughts are coming faster.
Mm.
And when we're calmer, we feel like the thoughts are sort of like, you know, meandering through the mind. So there's that sort of perception. There's also like the speed of the awareness itself. Like when you have momentum and the awareness is much more sort of flowing, he says, then it feels like the awareness can keep up with the speed of with whatever speed that the mind is going at, and then you know whatever's happening, you sort of just are able to recognize everything as it goes past, right? So there is those two aspects to how you might perceive speed. He says being, you know, like you're having in the past intentionally tried to quickly, you know, keep up with or label thoughts like that, he says probably led to too much concentration, because there's so much effort, right? It, the mind does get concentrated, and then that probably gave rise to that those weird experiences that you had.
Okay. Thanks.
Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry.
I'm always in a hurry.
Yeah, you're always in a hurry. He said, take your time.
Take your time.
Take your time. Yeah. He says you need to be like the turtle, you know, slow and steady, you know.
Win the race.
Yes, wins the race. I was hesitating to say that. But yeah, just he said if you just keep at it steadily, and he says you really want to rely on the momentum of years. Like 1 year of practicing steadily is going to be very different from 2 years of practicing steadily, which is going to be very different from 3 years of practicing steadily. So he said steady. He says the longer you keep at it steadily, the longer the nature of the practice reveals itself to you. Yeah, it's quite fascinating.
The other thing I do, so I just said I hurry a lot, so the checking, I think I maybe overdue. So someone was mentioning they get that forehead tension. I don't always get that, but I don't really know where I'm going with this, actually. But yeah, so okay, so if I'm like 2 days ago, I just want to look at thought, or like, because I'm sort of interested in it. It's probably a mix of defiled interest, like I want to understand why certain emotions are coming up. I think anxiety is a big one for me a lot of times. So I kind of have this interest in always finding the cause, or not the cause, just, so if I have, so I was walking around feeling the body and hearing, I think, and seeing, just trying to go through those, and I felt sort of subtly discontent. I couldn't even point out the feeling, but I knew that I kept having this conversation in my head with you guys over and over again, trying to explain my frustrations. But then I was like, there must be this like aversion feeling behind this stuff, but then I couldn't find it. And then I couldn't pick it out distinctly. Like,
but
sometimes
you could sense it in the background.
Kind of. I knew it was there just because because my mind keeps discussing this stuff with you guys, and it don't feel, it's like it was kind of subtle, and I couldn't pick it out or something. It's kind of, I have this problem with like when you guys say noticing the scene and stuff,
oh,
I feel like a lot of times I'm not at the level where I can pick out the knowing mind or whatever. So I mean, over time, like I think it gets better, but I still can't. I still don't know where I'm going with this. It's just always a subtle frustration that I can't distinctly pick out what I'm doing exactly.
So the words kind of frustrate you? Like,
kind of. Like, there's always, like, I always, so there's awareness, like, I can stay with the body, but then I always feel like I'm not doing enough, like, I should be checking. There must be aversion or craving somewhere, or there's something I should always be checking. So it's kind of like
not
maybe
neutral.
Yeah. I don't know.
ตัวเมียอ่ะเนเนเราจ้องจองรับเพื่อตัวบาเมียมันน่ะไม่ตีดุโลเว้ยแต่ว่าตัวอ่ะพี่เนี่ยเนี่ยอ่ะหมอตัวว่าตะคันนี้สกะลงเนี่ยตัวเอ่อเสิกชุบสิเลยบาผิดลงเลยสรุปตัวอ่ะอุปมาตัวหัวผิดเลยสรุปว่าสู้ตัวเซ็งหญ่ช่ําเลยเซ็งหญ่ช่ําเองตัวเซ็งหญ่ช่ําเองเนี่ยตัวเสิกแท้มาตะบี้รอเนี่ยอัญเชิญพี่เอาสกาเปล่าเนี่ยยีนนี่ดุโลเว้ยแหละตัวดาใบแม้ดาใบแม้ตัวตัวมาตะคุกๆ
มันจีนัดตะโลตูตะคู่น้ามะเลยโลมันจีนัดตะโลชื่อだแม้ไอ้มันจีนัดหมูตะแต่งเลยมันไม่เอาอาชีพอาชีพน่ะไม่ใช่ตูสกาอะอย่าเปล่าเนี่ยโลล่ะตูเย้เย้มีเว้ยเย้มีเลยตะแกดันสึกอ่ะสึกอ่ะโหตะแกดันตอนนี้มันติไม่จะผิดเลยเลยสรุปแล้วอะไรเหมือนตูตีอ่ะเลยだแม้ไอ้มันติไม่จะสึกกูตูได้อย่างตูขันซ้าโลทีนี้ช้าๆไม่ตีน่ะดูだแม้เปล่ามั้ยสรุปเนี่ยตีก็ตีนี่ล่ะเว้ยเออตีก็ตีอ่ะตูขันซ้าตีก็ตีอ่ะ ดำเมตูပြောတယ်ဟိုရိတ်မိတယ်ဗောသူပြောတယ်ဟိုဥပမာတယ်အရှင်ဖျားဒီမြင်တာကိုသိလာလို့ပြောနေတယ်သူစိတ်ကကွန်ဖျူးစ်ဖြစ်တယ်လေဘာလဲမြင်တာကိုသိဒီတိတာကိုသူသိတိတယ်မတိတယ်လို့ပဲလို့ခံစားရတယ်အဲ့တော့ဒီစကလုံးနေအဲ့တော့သူဘာမင်းကမှနောင်မတိကြတယ်လို့ဒါပေမဲ့တပြိုင်တည်းသူစိတ်ကဟိုအားထုတ်မှုပုံမှန်ဟိုသူမစကလုံးနေမှာရှင်းတော့သူ့ပြတန်နီးယားဖြစ်เสียတယ်တန်နီးယားဖြစ်เสียဆိုတော့သူ said, you know, there will be doubt.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I think there's a room full of confused people. You know, in the beginning, we're all confused. And that's perfectly all right. But, you know, the great thing about the practice, he says, is that the doubt is clear. And you can watch the doubt.
That's true.
So don't keep the doubt, Siano says. Don't keep the doubt. Watch the doubt.
Actually, no, that's actually when the doubt... I stay in that state, and then once I have, like, overt frustration feelings come up or doubt, then I feel good again.
Yeah.
But then I go back to the
subtle one.
It just goes back and forth.
He says, you know, when it becomes subtle and you can't just kind of get a grip on it, it's all right. He says, you know it's there. That's as much acknowledgement as they need. Just knowing they're there. Just keep acknowledging it's still there. It's still there. If you can detect it, you've detected it. If you can't detect it, okay, it's not detectable right now. That's fine, he says. So long as the mind isn't buying into it. And then growing it.
Yeah.
Sero says nobody is, you know, not everybody that talks to each other is going to understand the words of the other 100% of the time right away, right? He says we're all going to, depending on how much our mind, you know, gels with the words being used and the ideas being put across, he says we'll have our fair share of working through to understand. And then when we have more experience or the words start to make sense or we hear it from a different source, and then it might be the same idea, but, you know, it speaks more, the words speak more directly to us in whatever way, you know. When the mind becomes able, it will see. But we don't have to worry about it.
Then this to one, to bandore do, to go let dao dao di tha, to let dao dao di tha, to pure it, yeah, yeah.
If we have
the same,
when we have the same idea, Seattle says, when we have the same idea, the same way of thinking, Seattle says, yes, you know, he says, then you don't even have to use words. Sometimes you look at someone and they're like, they got it, you know? And with other people, it's like you could explain a whole lot and they won't. So don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Just.
Hey, good morning. I kind of consider myself as a beginner yogis. Actually, that's a new term I learned. I thought yogi had something to do with yoga, but actually it's meditation. So I learned something new. What brought me to meditation is I used to have very horrible back pain. So people would tell me, try meditation. So I did. And so I hear a lot of instruction from all over, research and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I used was more like breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that for the past 3 years, so it really helped my back tremendously.
Okay.
So now, this is the first time I come to this retreat, and this meditation has to do with the mind,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's completely different from the breathing technique. But I also understand that vipassana, I guess, right?
Maybe it's just an add-on, not so much completely different.
Okay, it's just an add-on. Okay, thank you for clearing that. So, vipassana, you have to go through, like, I guess, awareness of your body first, and then feeling, and then the mind, and then the fourth one is the Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that the rest of them is Dhamma.
Right, okay. Do you have to go in that order, or you can just jump in and out any one of them? Like I said, you know, as a beginner, please excuse me for asking non-intelligent questions because, you know, as a beginner, you tend to go out there
hold
and ask a lot of
questions,
and then you get a lot of different answers from a lot of different people. But I just want to hear from straight, you know, sources.
Yeah.
So that way I can clear it very
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, there are no stupid questions.
Yeah, tu tu mira aalo pin pin ma solo ra. Dame tu a tu ko tu beginner lo yusare lo ngere tu ne ka tu sa atu da khana lo. สะอาทุฏฐานาปานะเนี่ยอาทุฏฐะตูตลอดเลยตูคานะอัตตะเนี่ยแหละอกุติมาลาสะอาทุฏฐะตัวดาเสร็จอาจารย์อาทุฏฐะโหโหอ่ะเนี่ยลงอ่ะไม่ดูสอหมอลงอ่ะไม่ดูดาหมอโหโหอ่ะเนี่ยเนเนถัดโตไปดาบ่ดิอาชิญพระอาชิญเปล่าดาโหถัดโตไปดาบ่อะตัวเนี่ยตะดิปะถามาไกยเวทนาสิทธะธรรมมาเนี่ยโหตะคู่มีตะคู่ชั่วมะหม่อยเนี่ยตะคัดเลยว่าโห
So Seattle says traditionally, all the teachers begin by, most of the teachers begin by starting people on a bodily object, for example, the breath, right? And so that's how it begins. And then, but he says, when you talk to a yogi, you easily realize that the yogi, you know, can also detect stuff going on in the mind, like thinking, or stuff going on in the feelings. And then you can encourage the yogis to recognize those too. And then, in a single session of meditation, Seattle says, of course, then it's not like you just watch the body and then the feeling and the mind. It's not like that. It's whatever comes up, right? It's whatever comes up, you watch that. Yeah.
Mm.
many years ago, Seattle had a yogi come to him. The yogi was very depressed. And what Seattle asked the yogi to do at that time was just watch his feelings. Because, you know, the feeling... That yogi was... that person had never meditated before, did not understand anapanasati or rising, falling, or anything like that. It was totally, like, brand new. At that time, what was very clear to that person was the feeling of depression, was the heavy feeling that he felt all the time. So Seattle said, just watch it all day long. Don't ignore the thinking. You know, like, don't feed it with your thoughts. So the guy did that. And he didn't stay in the center. It was somebody, you know, that who was working. And so the person went home and he did that. So whenever he had time, that person would sit and just watch that feeling that he had, just watching, you know, not judging it, just watching when he was walking around, you know, whatever he did. If he could, he would watch that feeling. And he watched it for a month and the feeling settled down a lot. And then he came back to Seattle a month later to say that, you know, I've been watching it all month and it's really much better now. And then Seattle taught him how to do Anapanasati. So just
so basically,
who yogi or if you can probably last in her balle. Tinja Mali to Tialash out of to Tano Sinzania, so
there
was another yogi who came during the new year, and it's so busy there, like 1,000 yogis. There's not much time to do proper, like to speak to a yogi in depth. And this yogi reported that he was thinking a lot in the sitting. And Seattle said, watch your thinking. And so what the yogi did that. So he sat in the meditation, he just kept watching and watching and watching. He came back another interview and said, I can't think anymore because he kept watching his thinking. So he said you go with the flow. What's the moment now? What's it like? If it doesn't work, then you think of something else. Then you try something else. Yeah.
I have a brief question but first, I wanted to share something that I think might resonate with some people. I sat a retreat with Steve Armstrong in July, who was ordained as a monk under Shui Omin and Nob Sayadaw.
I think he was already a monk, but he went to stay with Shui Omin Sayadaw.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, right. This retreat was taught in Sayadaw's style, and at about this point in the retreat, one yogi asked very frustratedly, is the answer to any Dhamma question ever not just watch the mind? and Steve said, well, no, except also to know that you're watching the mind. So anyway,
I never think that Seattle says watch the mind too much. That's not my perception of it.
No, actually,
he doesn't start off right away telling people to watch their mind. He says it depends on if a yogi can or not. You know, if he thinks a yogi should try and explore that, he encourages them to. Yeah, otherwise, he's always telling people to come back to a neutral object, right, when they find the mind overwhelming and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He says he gives a lot of information about how the mind works so that we have an idea about the process, so that we sort of know where to come in or where we are at, and what the appropriate thing to do is. That's
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's his style is more just to give information about how the mind works. And
I'm not saying that I,
you know,
yeah. He says if we can become skillful at actually knowing the mind directly, yes, it is easier to resolve what's happening, but that takes time to develop.
I didn't necessarily agree with that sentiment. I just
yeah.
thought it was
humorous. Funny. Yes, it is.
My question is the difference between labeling
mm-hmm.
as this yogi was describing
mm-hmm.
and my question a few days ago about using words to describe what is happening. Is the difference between those two things right versus wrong effort?
I don't know that effort comes in. So
let
me just get this clear. When you say labeling, you're talking about actually mechanically labeling it, right?
Yes, like saying
okay.
memory.
Well, it's,
memory,
yeah.
memory,
blah, blah.
Memory. Yeah.
Concentration versus more open awareness. Or what is the difference? Is
yeah.
what
label tata ne ho sik ka ba lo techa phi aw lo ho ho name tata ne ho ho name tata ta ma hoh phe ne ho na le aw lo ho da ba le lo ko 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 shin shin aw lo ti aw sik ka
name pi da tata
ba wa da ba wa ko wa ko
lo
yu la di na khu ba kwa tu wa prathama pyo da
da ba wa ta ne da ba wa ta nyin ne tu techa ti aw amin a thaip phe paw pi ya
mho
ma mat mi lo
ma mat mi tu wa a ri ha right effort and wrong effort
quarrel
la so
you are
effort
ma sai ma mau ho kaung ga
tu
wa lo jin na
concentration
lo jin lo
ya
era
tu
wa na tu ku a me da concentration ne a ti ne quarrel la ti da ne elo
quarrel la ma Sierra says the purpose of labeling, you know, the mechanical labeling, is to bring the mind's attention to an object when the mind doesn't know how to attend to an object. So when the mind doesn't know how to, like some people you say, watch the breath, and they're like, what? You know, but if you say to them, watch the in-breath, you know, follow the in-breath from the beginning of the breath all the way to the end as you breathe in, feel it. So if you use these words, it points them to what they're supposed to pay attention to, right? And then the labeling, you know, I don't think, I don't know about labels for in-breath, out-breath, I guess, you know. Maybe that sort of label. It helps the mind to stay there. Because when you say a word like pink elephant, that's what the mind thinks of, right? And it's the same when you say pain, the mind goes to pain. When you say rising, falling, the mind goes to your rising, falling. So it helps the mind to stay. The purpose of using a label is to make the mind stay on the object. If the mind can stay on the object, it helps. It can help concentration to develop more quickly if you have the right attitude. The second bit, you know, what you were talking about, the way the mind uses words, that's a natural function of the mind. That when the mind experiences something, the mind names the experience to itself. That's not labeling. That's not something you purposely do. Not something you...
Natural process.
It's not willful. It's a natural function of the mind. It needs to name things so that it knows what it's experiencing. It remembers it better, too.
Right?
So it's the process is going in diametrically opposite ways.
Uh-huh.
One, yeah, in the labeling, you think of the meaning so that the mind will go to what the meaning points to.
The word comes first,
yes,
and then the awareness versus
mm-hmm.
the awareness.
Yes.
And
whereas in the other, the awareness comes first, and then the word name, the mind names it, something it understands. Yeah.
Very clear. Thank you.
Okay.
Usually when I did it, I would see it first, then say what it was, and try to categorize everything, but
okay.
Maybe it's...
So maybe that's not so much labeling. It's if it's mechanical, if you have to use the word every time,
then watch what it is, decide,
yeah.
say like memory.
Yeah. Mahasi Siado, who you know, started the labeling trend. He does say in his introductory take that the label is not essential. The label is to assist the yogi in attending to the object. But if the yogi is able to attend to the object, they can dispense with the label. So for some yogis, if you say, just know whatever is obvious, they're like, I don't know anything. You know, then it's helpful for them to have pointers about what they could pay attention to so that they learn the function of paying attention, and then they can use that function without having to label later on.
I label my papa and I see that. I choose like, ah. He's like, ah, yeah, mom, you know, and mom, you know. No, motivation of the thing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the thing, love about the thing. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem can be that yogis can become greedy, as with even without labeling, but, you know, in labeling, that they then get sort of like...
super concentration.
Yeah, they get, you know, overzealous about it, and they try to get into what they're observing and get too concentrated, super concentrated. They get, tight and stuff like that.
I don't know if so there's this German meditator I know. He was actually at Shui Umen.
Yeah.
But he is at, for I think, 7 months.
Okay.
And he says, he went to the jhanas and all this other stuff. So he says there's a few times where he'd go into this really concentrated state and see maybe 20 thought images per second or something crazy.
Yeah.
But then he was saying, so he saw the nimitta, the mental image stuff, but he was saying he never had any insights. But then I guess he switched techniques and started just doing this. It's like the dynamic meditation is a Thai technique. You just do move.
You move your hands, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's kind of similar to this, but you have to stick with the main object of moving, but you try to notice thought.
Yeah.
But it was how does it make sense that you could be seeing 20 thoughts per second or something crazy like that. And not have an insight, but then you just do the movement technique. And he actually, I think from the movement technique, he said, this is after, he said he actually understood Nama Rupa and had some other stuff happen after this that changed, totally changed his mind. But yeah, I just wonder how that could, he said it, he said he wasn't knowing, but this thing he was knowing or something. But I don't understand how you could notice 20 thoughts per second and not be knowing, right? It's I guess maybe I just don't understand enough, but he'd always try to explain this knowing thing to me.
I think,
I just still don't understand.
Okay.
So, you know, there's this, in what happened is, he said that, if he says that he's in something like a jhana, and this is the traditional definition of it, it's sort of he's so fixated on what's happening that there is no other thought process about it. There is a seeing of it and not a recognizing of it. You know?
That's what confuses me.
Sorry?
So that's the part that confuses me, but I guess I'll figure it out eventually.
It's sort of like... It's sort of like staring at something... It's sort of like staring at something with no understanding. You just stare.
Okay.
And you have no thought about... Like, you might be lost in thought about something else, or even just staring at it and just... No.
They don't think.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
It's kind
of like a dumb stare. You know,
okay.
So although in that sort of intense moment, it doesn't feel dumb at all. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because there's too much focus,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the mind isn't...
Yeah.
So he always talks about the natural mind. The natural mind is able to do its natural thing, you know, which is able to discern and recognize. It can function normally. But when the mind has too much concentration,
okay.
some of these functions are pushed aside. You know, they're sort of, so they can't function normally. But when he then switched to the other practice where he's moving and the mind is more in its natural state, in a sense, you know, he whatever concentration he had, but now that it's kind of balances out with just normal awareness, then the rest of those functions of the mind can come in and work. And then suddenly the recognition, the discerning, the wisdom, all those can work. And that's why he can have insight. Yeah. It's always said, even traditionally in the text, that you know the five faculties need to be balanced in order for the mind, in order for insight to arise. And the five faculties are, you know, sati, and then stability of mind, samadhi, right effort, right faith, and wisdom. None of them, you know, aside from sati, which apparently can never be too much. Sati, the other four can be too much. Too much wisdom, you can be thinking too much. Too much faith, you can be not trying to understand. You know, anything which is too much can
That kind of makes sense. Okay.
Yes, we should be careful about naming.
Sorry.
Can you remember? Oh well. Can you edit those names out?
Maybe.
We'll try that.
So, you know, I'm a long time I didn't report to you. This is, I'm going to report the lifetime of Vipassana. I hear this, Yogi saying something. That's what I did for 19 years, the tradition with the Upika.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. It's very helpful for starting to me from scratch, zero, of knowing nothing about Buddhism when I come to this country in 1970. And then at that time, I just, this is part of my healthcare provider. I teach the patient how to be confronted with the anxiety, pre-op, post-op, and a lot of dying patients. And I don't know what I'm talking about, relaxation exercise. So I thought this is a relaxation exercise. So I went for practice because I'm coping with my family. I sponsor so many, and my daughter teenage problem. And I thought this meditation is relaxation exercise. But when I first starting, the first day, it's just like the most pain I ever have in my life. I say, what's going on? But because of trust of my teacher, I saw some people sitting OA, sitting 3-4 hours straight, very relaxed. Something behind him. I want to know. So I try to be patient, patient, and patient. The second day, with rising and falling, pain, whatever you experience, your noting can come back. But the second day, no more noting, no more labeling. It automatically, so fast, faster than the light. So the mind just in the back, the mindfulness in the back, watching all this show going on. And my teacher said, even you die, it's okay. Other than you go back and die with craving, anger, and delusion all your life, and life after life. So trust in the Buddha. Dana, this pain to the Buddha. I trust that. And I die. Even I die, I will not get up. And I will be, accept this pain, open to this, and let it be and aware, and see what happens. And I trust in the Dharma and the teaching, somehow, somewhat. The second day, no more labeling, just awareness. And see all of this show with the stable mind, ready to die. But then something happened. Until that day, until now, unshakable belief in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. But then I went to I went in 1992 and practiced in the garage. We didn't have any center yet. But the trust in the Buddha, patiently, I stayed there. Peace in the middle, crazy. But then I say, went back to work. I'm working in the health department here. We have so many people from around the world, refugees. I'm in charge. So, facing with different mind, different culture, what do I do? It's not easy using technique. And I say, the mind moves so fast. First part, what am I going to do? You know, I cannot be in the peace in the middle and my patient and all that. Must be something. And I saw article, 1998 or 7, something like that. I say, my teacher, we have to go to see this Sayadaw. He had the peace, something. And then we went, in 1998, I met Sayadaw the first time with the shogun. Just the first teaching of him, it fit me perfectly. I say, this is final destination. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life at work, at my family, and my country in Vietnam. I have to go back and help them. But somehow, this technique has helped me, went through my family problem, my work problem, different with culture of the world. I'm able to spread while I work. That means my mindfulness, they should be mindfulness when I give shot. Or when I do some performance, but somehow, this is work 100% to me. And that means, at work, at driving back and forth here, and going to Vietnam, stay one place, I think, pass by. I stay in that mountain by myself, dealing with anxiety. And only two people at that time, with poison snake and all that, I faced with the problem of anxiety too. But because I watch my mind all night, all day, I'll be able to cope. Last month, I was staying in that place by myself again. And everybody afraid. But somehow, I'm not. Why? I watch my mind react. This is my objective. My and my and my and my. And just relax my body. Totally. Just like that body. Still knowing. And somehow, somewhat, I faced with it. And many days without anybody, I stay by myself in the mountain. It was very difficult. But somehow, this technique, tradition, also helped me. Vedana, Vipassana also helped me. Sometimes you use this, sometimes you use that. But the mind is the one that we can use our daily living everywhere, any situation, with the right attitude, with the acceptance 100%, he said the art of acceptance. And I love it. Because whatever situation, I still have a reaction, but yet I know the wrong attitude, the right attitude, and how to serve in the middle of problem in life. So any techniques work somehow, somewhat at that moment. But finally, the mind is moving so fast, we have to observe this. And where now? It takes a long time, that's what you don't say. many years before you be able to see the objective of observer mind. Now sight, seeing, or feeling, sensing, only sense and all that, you only know when you have the right attitude. You accept that as is, and also the mindfulness of the observer mind. It covers everything. It's so beautifully and consistently, and never give up. Repeating, repeat the art of repeating, even billion times, okay? No me, no mind, no I. This is the goal. So somehow, somewhat, I really appreciate this opportunity to introduce to all yogis, because I practice Mahasi tradition, Vedana Vipassana with Uchitin. And now, with final 1998 until now, Sayadaw Dejaniya, I think he's taught me the technique of final dedication in my life. So may you all be in achieve what I got, and also beyond that, in this very light, in this very center of showing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
He understood that clearly.
Hi, I'm not
going
that far, but
I've just
I just want to ask you about the practicing.
Put the mic, yeah.
Like, you know, this morning I went in, right when I came, I just sitting in meditation, and for a while having pain, I utilizing the point, and I started having pain in my left knee. So when I start having pain, I just change my object to the instead of the pain. So I change to my sensation of my feet.
You didn't look at the reaction of the mind?
Oh yeah, my reaction said if I stay longer for my experience, I can have more pain. That, you know, when I pay attention to my pain for a while, my experience, my pain again.
Have you been watching your pain this time?
I did last time, you know.
But in these few days?
Yeah.
You've been watching your pain?
Yes.
You never watched the reaction of your mind?
Yeah, I did. I watched
the reaction of the mind.
I get my like anxiety and my, you know, like pressure in my chest.
Chest, okay.
Yeah, that's why this morning I just changed my object to feel my sensation of my fingers instead. But I don't want to stay longer because I pay attention longer.
Don't pay attention on the leg. Don't pay attention
on my pain.
Yeah, don't pay attention on the pain. Always go to the reaction in the mind. So
yeah, when I pay attention to on the mind,
yeah.
And you know the pain is increasing.
You
it's
still
my anxiety.
Yeah,
it's high.
Yeah.
So that's why I just
so you got to
my dancing.
Okay, so you got to the point where the pain is unbearable.
Yes.
Today. So then you didn't change your position? You didn't make yourself more comfortable?
No, I just think to myself, how about if I change my object to my sensation instead?
Okay, so what happened?
I feel better, I calm down.
You feel better, okay.
It's okay to do that,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I don't have to go back to pain anymore.
I change, yeah.
And if you can handle it, it's okay. If you can handle it, he said, it's okay.
Yeah,
or you can make yourself more comfortable. If you watch the sensation in your hands and the pain is still becoming worse,
uh-huh.
He said, change your leg position. Make your legs comfortable. Like, change.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. If my pain is still the same level,
yes.
And I should go back for my, So after I have a lot of pain, right, and have anxiety, and then my pressure in my chest, so I change my object to my sensation of my fingers.
Yeah.
So when I calm down, I just go back to see the pain again.
Mm.
I should. What I should do? I should. That's what I'm confused about. Do I have to stay in my sensation of my fingers?
No.
No. Do I have to go back to the pain?
Don't ever watch the pain. Don't go to the pain. Don't ever watch the pain directly. only look at the reaction in the mind.
What? Okay.
So you don't need to watch the pain. The mind already knows it's there.
Okay.
Don't watch the pain. Okay.
Yeah. This is my question: is if my feeling, you know, mind is calmed down.
Yeah.
Do I have to stay with feeling sensation, or I have to change on another object?
Let it go. Jingluo sen ying wa bi so yin. Go to the reaction of the mind. Check if the mind is still has a reaction. Is there still a reaction?
If no reaction, what I choose to stay, I just stay.
If there's no reaction, you can do anything you like. You can observe any object that you like. You can go back to the fingers, you can continue to watch the feeling in the chest, you can check to see if there's pain. At that time, even if you go and check the leg, you can. Oh, it's now no reaction. What does this feel like? Is it still painful? If there's no reaction.
Okay.
I know what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sierra says the main purpose of this exercise, of watching the reaction in the mind, the main purpose is to know when there's reaction in the mind, how does the mind think of the pain, right? If you look at the reaction. And when there's no more reaction at all, the mind is calm, you check, no more reaction, how does the mind feel about the pain? How is the pain then, right? Just check. That's what we want to find out. If there's no reaction, how is pain? If there is reaction, how is pain? Right? When there's no reaction, pain is very different from when there's reaction. Yeah, this is what you want to say. So this, the reaction is closely related to the pain, the reaction. Okay, when there's no reaction, there's a different feeling of pain. Okay. Yeah, that's a different feeling. So you want to discover that. Okay.
Dear teacher, I have a quick question. During the life, we have to work. So sometimes the object, we have to have one object, and we have to focus. We have to base on one object for a long time, like assemble like computer or something. So we put the mind there. And do we have to change the object sometime, or we don't have to?
So you are used to keeping your mind on one object?
Yeah.
And are you still doing that now?
Like working, sometimes just one object.
When you work, you mean like when you're in the kitchen or something, you keep your attention on one object while you're working. Is that right?
Yes.
And
it's not a kitchen. Yes, I said more like that. So sometimes
not sitting meditation, right? Not sit, like say you're bathing and you're aware of one thing while you're taking a shower. Is that what you're talking about?
Like on computer.
Oh, like when you're working on the computer. Right. Okay. So you pay attention to one thing while you're working on the computer. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's the mind there, so for long, like an hour or something. Do we have to change the object somehow?
So are you able to keep your mind on one object while you're using on the computer for 1 hour? You are able to do that?
What you say?
Can you explain?
I think she says it's a computer, it's an object. Computer is an
object.
It's not the screen, it's not the texture inside the computer, but it's a computer alone.
Oh, she's not talking about being aware of herself as an object. She's talking about
focus her mind on a computer.
Her mind is on the computer.
Yeah.
The mind, the computer, I don't say that, you know, yeah.
So the focus on the screen.
For an hour, right.
Mind activity,
yeah. She's not aware that her mind is doing that, right?
Yeah, we're not aware of that. But
are you aware of that the whole hour?
Yes.
You are aware that you are paying attention to the computer.
Right,
the
I'm just asking if we are aware an hour like that, or we have to change the object. So because sometimes aware the object is changing, and we are aware the object, we recognize the object, and the object
changing
is...
Changing the object.
The mind is...
You can change the object or stay on one object. Does the mind stay on only one object? Doesn't the mind change? If you know that the mind is going to another object, that is fine. You know the mind is now thinking of something else or knowing something else. That's okay.
So my question, like the teacher say, if we thinking of something is too long,
mm-hmm.
The object we change, or we can stay on one object because the working.
Focus.
The
focus is different from the awareness. So if you say that you are focused on something for an hour, that's different from being aware for on one object for an hour. Focus more like samadhi.
I'm going to change that. Why do you want to change?
No,
Siyadaw says, when he says that you know something or you aware of something, the object is yourself. It's never the outside thing. So for example, you're using the computer, you know that you are using the computer, that's okay. Okay, you're conscious that you are using the computer for the whole hour, that's fine. Or you're conscious that you're using the computer and you're drinking some water, you're thinking about what to write on the computer. If you're conscious of all that, that's fine. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's fine. Okay.
Thank you.
If you're aware of what you are doing yourself, that's okay. And whether you change object or stay, like whether you stay on one part of yourself or other things, it's fine.
And
usually, Sierra says, we are not just doing one thing, right? The mind is doing multiple things. We are seeing, we are feeling, we are moving, we are thinking. So, you know, it's useful to know the whole picture, rather than be just fixed on one thing. And even if you're fixed on one thing, you should know that the other things are working as well, because you want to see the whole picture of this mind and body working. Hold on.
Yes. Yesterday, at the beginning of my report, I made a statement that I noticed the level of my awareness increasingly. So at the end of the discussion, Sayadaw asked me a question. Why? How that I noticed that? So today I come back with the answer. Hopefully it's acceptable. Or else, please shed some light.
So he remembers that yesterday you said because you are here, this environment
right.
makes you
right.
your mindfulness
right.
more continuous. So
right.
he said that was only part of it. Yeah.
Right. So at the very beginning, the first day in the introduction, before giving information,
mm-hmm.
wonderful information, by the way, and very valuable information, anyway, and the formula.
Saito said, mind has a lot of law, and this is one of the law of the mind that keep repeating, it will develop.
It will get stronger, yeah.
It's stronger, it develop. So say, if you keep practicing the good things, then the bad thing won't have chance to develop. So therefore, I think this is answer for, I keep practicing, or keep aware, the practicing the awareness, so that's why get a little bit stronger.
That's right, Seattle says. And what he wants, why he asked the question, is so that we recognize what we are doing, what contributes to our success, or what contributes to our growth is our own effort at whatever we do, right? So if you practice awareness, you'll have more awareness. If you practice anger, you'll have more anger, you know? So we need to know
absolutely,
our contribution.
Absolutely. But
He says it's a common, like a delusion that we have as yogis. You know, when he says, yogis have been practicing for some time and the practice is getting better, then he says, do you know why your practice is better? Do you know why your samadhi feels more stable? They don't know. It feels like that now, but they don't know why. They've been practicing, but they never think that the practice is what makes the situation what it is now. So it's important to know the mind, because only if you know the mind, you know that their mind has been working, and this is the result of the mind's work. And if we don't see, if we don't know how the mind works, Seattle says, then we never become skillful, because we never see, you know, when something goes bad, we don't know what unskillful thing the mind did that made it become difficult now. Or when things go well, we don't know what skillful thing the mind did that it's going well now. So we don't recognize the process. If we don't recognize the process, we have no chance to take advantage of that same process and repeat it. Then it becomes random. It seems random. You know, it's like, when the mind thinks right and we don't know, you know, it goes right. When the mind doesn't think right and we don't know, but it seems to go wrong, you know, and then we go up, down, up, down, up, down our whole lives, he said. So Seattle says, it's normal in the beginning to go up, down, up, down. Because we are still in the learning phase, we are not skillful yet. He says, but the up, down is our chance to learn, to understand what is making something up and what is making something down. We learn from what's happening in the mind, what is, you know, what the mind is thinking that makes it up, what it makes. And then as we learn, he says, when the mind understands what's going on, he says, the ups and downs become less steep. It's less up and less down. And so it sort of becomes less up, less down. And then if we become really skillful, Seattle says, then we have a chance to become really stable.
So
that's one day.
Please, maybe another question.
Oh, he says, now you like questions. So Seattle says, so now you if you had stayed with your previous answer that the environment, you know, made your awareness better, right? He says then you would always keep needing to come back to the environment, right? But now he says you know that it's when you cultivate something, right? You keep doing the practice, it gets stronger. So now he asks you, at home, can your awareness become better? usually, why is our awareness not good at home?
Let me clarify my answer, yesterday
okay.
answer.
Okay.
Well, obviously, we can practice awareness anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
But yesterday answer kind of a shortcut. I did say that at home, with the environment at home, I have a lot of things in my mind,
mm-hmm.
a lot of thinking in my mind,
mm.
Memory, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's hard. It's harder,
mm.
harder.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the environment that's
facilitate
the
yeah.
practice.
Yeah.
So
if we want the Dhamma in our lives to be stronger, Siyadra says, where must we make more effort?
At home.
Yeah, but he says our efforts are upside down. You know, when the environment is easy, we make more effort. When the environment is difficult, we give up. We don't even try.
I did not give up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But it's hard to it's hard to practice.
Yes.
It's harder. But it means when it's harder, it means we actually have to give it more thought.
Yes.
You know, we have to make effort in different ways, not just by trying to be aware, but by strategizing. If I want to be aware at home, where are the spots that I can steal time to be mindful? In times when I am talking or relating, how can I try to be mindful? We have to start to make strategy. We have to use our wisdom more in order to have more mindfulness at home.
I
agree.
And he says, when we make that kind of effort, he says, when we make that kind of effort, because it's real, nothing is made easy for you. And if you make that effort and you can really apply it and you learn something, he said, it is real. Because nobody gave you any discounts. Okay, you earned it yourself. That is real. He says, it's worth it. He says, on retreat, everything is geared to support mindfulness. He says, every image, there are Buddha images everywhere. Every yogi is looking mindful. Even the staff are being mindful. There are signs everywhere to be mindful. You know, it's like you're reminded all the time. So there's a lot of support. He says, at home, every object reminds you not to be mindful. You know, it reminds you to get angry or get greedy.
It's true.
Yes. Yeah? They're attracting you with all the unskillful energies. So we have to try harder ourselves. The energy must come out of ourselves, not from the outside. Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much.
He says this is, you know, this is very basic, right? But it's everything starts from basic, and you can learn to ask yourself questions whenever you're stuck. You can ask yourself questions that wakes the mind up. Yeah, when you know, Siyaro gives many examples of questions that we could ask. It's just to give us an idea, but we can ask ourselves different questions that are relevant. Because you know, if we want to develop wisdom, we have to invest wisdom, and questioning is a way of investing our wisdom. Yeah. This is how we learn to use the wisdom we have. We must learn to use it. We have it. We must use it.
Yeah.
In practicing the Dhamma, so many times, so often, Sarah says, we get stuck on the mechanical,
mm-hmm.
the applying of effort. We forget that there's also an applying of wisdom that is essential. and definitely a part of the practice, and we must learn to rely on that and not just the mechanical.
Mm. Yeah. Morning, Salvador. I would like to add something to that, because this is how I practice at home, to be mindful. I know it's very difficult, it's not easy, but what I did to create for myself an environment, I was saying to myself, like, doesn't matter what people say to you, there is a reason behind it. And the question is, do we want to understand and respect that reason? That's the first thing I set up for myself. The other thing I set up, everybody interact with you, there is an interdependency between you and that person. As long as we understand that and respect that, and then begin to observe, listening, hear, seeing, and then observe my feeling all the time. And then even though I always react angry, I react at craving as anybody else, but I always observing, maybe like a 2 second, 3 second behind, but at least it's still, there is a recognition, and that's what I'm continuing to recognize, that feeling, and then try to be a positive attitude toward it, and respect them by listening more to them. And that's how I learned to be mindful. I'm not sure, I think that's how I practice. Okay.
အဲ့မှာသူကအိမ်မှာပဲအထုတ်တာပြတယ်သူကအိမ်မှာဘယ်လိုအထုတ်တယ်ဆိုတော့သူကအရင်သူစိတ်ကသူစဉ်းစားထားတယ်တခြားလူပါပဲလို့တူမအကြောင်းရှိတယ်သူအကြောင်းနဲ့သူရှိတယ်ဒါကိုသူကရက်စပက်ဆိုတာဒါကိုကိုလက်ခံနိုင်လားလို့ပြောတဲ့သဘောပဲဒါကိုဟိုနားလည်ပြီးလားနားလည်ပြီးလို့ရလားအဲ့လိုမျိုးသူကသူ့ကိုသူအရင်မေးတယ်တဲ့နားလည်ပြီးလို့ရသူကသူ့မှာလည်းလောဘနဲ့ဒေါသဖြစ်တာပဲတဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သူက
He says, remember, in this world, nobody is the same as us. Our five fingers are not the same. He says, in the Buddhist psychology, there's 31 realms, right? The human realm is only one. In the 31 realms, there's not a single mind that is the same as this mind. It doesn't have the same history. So always, when we have a difference of opinion with someone else, always remember, they are not me. They're not going to think
the same.
And if we can, as you use the word respect, if we can respect that or accept that or understand that, he said, then it relieves us of a lot of conflict because we can accept that they are different. It's going to be different. He says problems arise when we unconsciously or consciously believe that somebody must agree with us, that they should be able to see our point of view, or they should see that what we're thinking is right. You know, once we have that sort of thinking, he says, then the conflict gets intensified.
And that's what I believe. I believe every reaction, everything is Dharma. There's a reason behind it, and that's what I've been using, Dharma, every time.
Everything is Dharma. He says we want to only take the kusala, the wholesome, to be Dharma. Everything akusala, unwholesome, we're like, no, it's not Dharma. We don't want to be near it. But it's also Dharma. We need
Dhamma
to understand
Dhamma
it.
Dharma is Dharma. The nature of Dharma. Definition of Dharma is Pali or Bhadabhyana.
What does Dharma mean? Dharma means nature. So there's a wholesome nature, there's an unwholesome nature. They are all nature. Yeah? But if you take the nature part of it, it's neither essentially good nor bad. It's just its nature. It has an inherently wholesome or an inherently unwholesome nature. It is to be understood for what it is. One is skillful, one is unskillful, but we don't need to judge it as good or bad. It just has its characteristics and its consequences. Yeah.
That's good. Now it's my report. So basically, in the last couple of days, I always utilize Sayadaw, walking with Sayadaw as the key to openness. So after last night, I sit down only about 15, 20 minutes of the meditation before the last chanting. So I realized I will say, okay, my mind's in balance, what do I do? Why are walking with Sayadaw different than I'm sitting? So over suddenly I remember the statement say, seeing and looking. So what I did is I opened my mind, opened my eyes, see. Then I observing my feeling, the sensation, I see the entire forehead, very cool. Then I close my mind, immediately go to an object. Then I talk about Sayadaw, walking with Sayadaw. Let's walk, walk, walk. Then it's cool. It's almost like I open my eye. So I just try to simulate that. So basically, open my eye, close my eye, open my eye, but no open my eyes.
Yeah.
To see, I have seen the same effect. And after a couple of practice within that 20 minutes, I'll be able to see that same effect. And boom, I say, open my eye, aha! It's cool. So, and I monitor myself to see if there's any anger, there's any craving. It seemed to be there's no craving and angry, and look like I'm focused on the mind of awareness. So I just stay on top of that, and I notice that I see things, I observe things, but it's very blurred. It's clear, but it's no understanding whatsoever. And I continue to observe my attitude toward it and my feeling toward it. And then there is a scanning happen. It's almost like I want to see a little bit clearer on all the objects, like from the sitting, the toe, the left hand sit on bottom and the right hand on top, the sensational throughout the body. There is a scan, but there is no decide whether or not it's strong or weak. It's just a scan. And then over suddenly, there is another intention happen where I focused on like my bottom where the pain was strong and say, ah. So it's like an investigation of some kind. So, and that's what I did. And then of course the thinking come in, I saw my kid, I called my wife a couple of days ago and one of my kids was sick. I was like, okay, I'm not at home. Then I feel a little sorry, say I'm not at home. Then I come back and say, oh, just a thinking. Then I'm watching my attitude again, and then it's kind of cooled down, and then eventually it stays at the neutral state. And then I notice that this thing is so tight, and this thing under here is not so tight. Then I say, the feeling, the stress, the energy were here. So I say, where's the seeing? That's what I'm asking myself. Where's the seeing? I said, see. And then, boom, it started to cool off. And then this thing disappeared, and I'm starting to observe slowly with no really intention of really focus on any object. I notice it's very cool down here and here. Until, oh, suddenly, again, the intention of the scanning happened. And I know there's a tighter, but there is neutral feeling. So that's what I've been doing the entire hour, and very little of thinking in terms of personal story. Very little, only a few of them. So that's a report from yesterday to the two meditation, and then the report of, I followed Sayadaw yesterday. Sayadaw was asking me about, do you know where you put the phone? So last night, I put the phone, well, exactly where it charged. Then I pray to myself. I remember so I said, I pray that I will be mindful as soon as I wake up. So I did that. I meditate. I lay down and start meditating, and then it fell to sleep. Then exactly at 4:15, when the alarm ring, for some reason I beginning to aware right away, and I know exactly where the phone is, and I grab the phone with my right hand up. And press a stop alarm. The weird part is I went back to sleep.
Everything went into place.
So around 4:45, I woke up. It was not my fault.
Not my fault?
Or it's not my fault. It was suddenly severe. So I just stand up and grab my toothpick and then... So I didn't even watch my emotion.
Because you went to sleep without, you went back to sleep without being
bothered. That's what it
is.
So I got
it's connected, you know, what you fell asleep with is connected to how you wake up.
Right.
So you know, when you just went back to sleep, you didn't do it mindfully, so you woke up and then...
It's like cause and effect, like if I start with something, I'm getting the result of that. But then after that, I can be mindful all the way into the meditation. I know what hand I open the doorknob, what step I walk in first, same thing, watching my teeth up and down, touching water, feel the cold, the warm, and touching the right hand, I feel the cold on the marble floor, on the sink, I felt it, same thing, I walk out, then as soon as I sit on the bed, fold a blanket, it's all been gone, it's like, it disappeared.
Yeah. Sierra says the instruction not only for one night, every night.
I am aware.
Every time. And then, you know, slowly it becomes every moment, right? So.
Yes. And that is the report what I have learned so far.
He says the reason why in sitting, you know, you have to keep recalling your walk with with Seattle is because there's an old idea that when we sit, we have to do something.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to do it a certain way. So because of that idea keeps working.
Right.
So there's a pattern. Yeah, so the old pattern keeps working.
But since yesterday night, tonight it disappeared. I never mentioned the words walk with Sayadaw anymore because it opened of the seeing and looking. So my question is, did I hallucinate it if I think there's an intention to scan or the scanning to a specific object to investigate for more detail? Is that just an intention, right?
Yeah.
That's not craving, right? It's just intention. Because I wasn't a feeling, I didn't see any kind of angry or craving at all. It's just neutral.
Sierra says, whether there's craving or not, you have to check, right?
Yeah,
while you're watching, you have to check.
Check that.
Sometimes
it's
not there
neutral.
In the beginning, it might come in later, so you have to keep checking if craving comes in or not.
Right, but there is an intention.
The intention will be there, yes. He says in the beginning, you know, we always talk about check your feeling, check your, you know, check in the body, check your mind, you know, we talk about that, but he says if you do this many, many, many times, after a while you realize that you can see the whole thing.
Check some
at together.
No need to check.
Right? Without checking, you can
already
detect what's in the mind.
Yeah, I see the object, but slowly, not really. It's like I look at a flower, just a color. It's not really a like a lotus until there is a first scan or the second scan of the investigation.
When you're not looking, you cannot see clearly, right? If you just see, it's just seeing.
You're just seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. If it's necessary, then we look.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's an intention. It's the...
Yeah, yeah. Looking has intention. Yes, looking has intention.
Right. Okay.
Hi. I had an earlier question about my old habit when I go on retreat is to get more concentrated. And so I've let that go, though, after a few days. And so I've been enjoying just relaxing and being aware more, and that's good. What I notice is I still have a lot of craving at different times that I have to work with. And yesterday I... You know, it was raining all day, so I got the idea that I could go back to where I'm staying and take a nap. And after a while, I decided I would go ahead and do that. So sometimes, though, it's like, can there be good craving and bad craving? Because I took a nap and it felt it felt good.
But people know that really. For the
craving, how go? Sometimes people walk. Well,
sometimes do. ตัวดีมาเอกนี่တော့ตัวดีมานี่เก็นใจดูอนาอยู่ลงเนี่ยตัวตะนี่กุมดีมาเนี่ยมาสรแล้วตัวนานลงเนี่ยแท้ลงเนี่ยคาลิก้าเนี่ยมาตัวไปแล้วแหละแต่มันเนี่ยแจ็ดตัวดูกองจี้เนี่ยมาล่ะคณะกว่าอเมียเป็นมาเนี่ยเออมันเนี่ยตัวเปลี่ยนจินะสิตลอดผิดตัวตัวเปลี่ยนไล่เลยเออก้าวเนี่ยลောบะชินะเพราะฉะนั้นเนี่ยเราลောบะไปแต่ว่าตั้วลงไล่ตัวตะเกดันตัดตาเลยหลูแล้วโผหลูถั่วอโจชิเลยพอเออแล้วลงเชิญ
Yeah,
sometimes you know there's craving, but there's probably some wisdom in it as well. You know.
Yeah.
So when there is a wisdom that wants to do something, there's a wisdom motivating a desire to do something. It's called chanda, you know, instead of lopa. Because wisdom also has requirements, like, you know, it believe, for example, wisdom knows that maybe the body should rest so that it can function better. You know, so that you wouldn't call greed, yeah. But it might, yeah.
So then the second part is, I didn't feel bad about the nap.
Yeah.
But then later last night when I went back, I have access to sweet cereal. And started thinking about the cereal and even knew the wisdom even said you don't need the cereal. But then I just kept thinking, but it would taste so good.
And I
so I knew I felt like I was mindful. I was choosing to be unwise.
Sometimes it's funny, there's a story. Yeah, so there's the story of this of a group of monks who went to stay in stay somewhere in a forest to meditate, and this lady, when she came across them and asked them, you know, about what they were doing, they said they were meditating. When she heard that she wanted to meditate so much, she asked them to teach her. When they taught her, she became an anagami first. She became third stage enlightened, and she had psychic powers, so she could see their minds. And she saw that all of them were in need of food. Like each of them had a different thing that they craved in food. And she realized that they needed to have that fulfilled. Like something needed balance, you know? And so she prepared the food that each of them needed and gave it to them. And when they had that, you know, when the mind was satisfied on that level, they all became arahants.
Only the cow and all.
Only, so he says, you know, sometimes there is this thing, like, you know, like where the mind just needs that bit of balance. He said there's a story of Mahasi Siaro wanting to eat glutinous rice one day, and he had a strong craving, and the next morning, like a lot of people brought glutinous rice, he ate it all. I don't know what it did for his meditation, but yeah. Like, you know, sometimes we can get
the
car, you know. But he said just once, yeah, not all the time. He says if we keep feeding greed, of course greed gets stronger. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to report.
Because he said if the greed gets too strong, the greed can then get in the way of being balanced as well. Yeah.
I have a chance to swing my home last night, and when I need to use the restroom, and I use my son's, he's a teenager, and I couldn't really open the door because over the weeks he used it, and without me at home, all the clothes piled up that I couldn't even open the door. Mm-hmm. And I watch the reaction of the mind, and the mind can aware that a lot of judging is going on, a sense, some level of irritation. He's not at home, so I can't really, I would normally just like yell out or nagging or scold him. And the mind can see it. The mind can aware of those level of some irritation and judging and all that. So when there is a recognition of there is a judging mind which is not wholesome, can we remind ourselves that this is not wholesome, so we just recognize, we notice it, we follow it, and then can we also remind ourselves that this is not good, so we don't want to
express it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this the right way, right practice, that if we know that guilty or judging is not a good seed, is not a good way, then we recognize it, we follow, and then we...
When you use the word follow, what do you mean?
Like we're observing it,
oh, okay,
to see the intensity of it, and
yeah,
then and we also intentionally reminding us that we don't want to have those kind. All those, it's come naturally,
yeah,
but can we also reminding ourselves that, you know, we don't need to really
express,
no need to
it.
Act, yeah.
Act it out, yes, no need to act it out. ก็เปล่าเลยมะเนี่ยตูเปลี่ยนลัวแล้วตูตายไอ้เราตัวตรงเนาะตูตายแต่ตูไอ้มาไม่ใช่หรอกอวิชชาปုံท่าแต่กาเราไม่ลงไม่อยากอูเนี่ยปုံมาเสร็จตูตาชื่อแล้วเสร็จตูออมเหมซูเหมเปียวเหมซูเหมดังนั้นตูโหตะเนี่ยเนเน่เปล่าหรอโหตูเปล่าเลยโหคลีโหดอดะเนี่ยเปล่าเองตูก็คลีโหดอดะไม่เผ่าอูตินเบ้เนี่ยแต่ตูก็ดอดะเนี่ยเปล่าหรอกไม่อยากมะเลยตูไอ้เฉยมาอ่ะตู
ခလေးအိမ်မှာမရှိတော့သူ့ကိုပြောဆိုလို့မရတော့သူ့စိတ်ကိုကြည့်တယ်သူပြောတယ်နောက်အတွက်ဆိုရင်ねကိုကိုစိတ်ကိုလည်းကြည့်မယ်နောက်တော့ကိုကိုကိုလည်းပြောတင်လာတဲ့ဩဒီဟာအကျိုးမရှိဘူးဒါအခုတော့ဒီစိတ်နဲ့မပြောတင်ဘူးလို့ကိုကိုကိုတတိပေးရမလားတဲ့ဒါပေါ့ပေးရမှာဩတတိရှိပေးရမှာမလို့
Yeah, he says of course you can remind yourself, and if you are mindful and there's wisdom, you understand that this is unskillful, you don't even have to remind yourself. He says you can just observe that feeling, don't let it, don't act it out. Never do anything or say anything when you are angry, because there is no benefit in it. You can only harm the situation. It can never be fully beneficial to act out in anger.
Mm.
He says, even when you are right, about something, when you say it in anger, the other person will not feel inclined to listen because it's delivered in anger. The delivery is more important.
And when I checked through the email and stuff, because I've been really checking it in the past so many days, the mind can recognize and aware that there's a rush that you want to flip through the screen quick, so you go down the list.
Yeah.
So it's aware of the rush that you feel in it. And when I scratch, I normally just like it itch there, then you scratch, but you also like spreading out, then there's an awareness of, oh, that spot is not need to scratch. I mean, the hand is just reaching, it's just out of out of my habit. It doesn't really need to get it there.
Yeah.
So there is an awareness more on the movement, on the
Maniya tu email cini lah tu. Acheya lekana ni bersih dah lihat tu maniya impian bro di leh pialam ni. So tu macia dia email ni cira tu ni yang pijen ane ti dia. Oh, deku bi deku. Ati sih mampat cina. Nampu tu lekna tu di kau dek dek. Karai so yang kau lo maniya dari tami tu yang lo mahom. Siapa lo ni lah? So yeah, you notice that it's just restlessness, right? The mind is in a hurry, it's restless, so it's just doing things like scratching yourself, even though there's no itch. Yeah. When the mind is fidgety, the body becomes fidgety.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay.